Sorry, I'm not good with technology. I was setting the recorder, so that way if Sam said anything he shouldn't and Tanya wanted a recording of it to remind him, then we've got that. So it's really good to see everybody this evening. We appreciate so much each one of your being here. We have a number of visitors, and we're delighted to have you all with us. And we've got a number that are going to be speaking this week or have already spoken, and we appreciate y'all being here and bringing your families as well. But good to see everybody. Tonight we're going to have Sammy Stevenson from Earth, Texas. He's going to be preaching. We gave him the toughest topic of anyone for the whole week. His topic is the whole week is on getting serious. But we asked him if he would speak on what happens to a church when we don't get serious. And so he told me when I gave him that topic, he said, I'll take 2 weeks, and if I can't think anything positive at all, I'll call you back and tell you I'm not going to speak. So apparently he found something positive to talk on, and we appreciate that. We're looking forward to hearing the message. We still have a number on our sick list that we want to continue to remember in our prayers. It's really good to see Lucy feeling good after her surgery and being back. I understand Kim is starting to recuperate very nicely, and so we're just very grateful for that. And again, we've got so many that we have been praying for. We want to continue to pray for them. If you would add my cousin Bob to your prayer list, he's the one that always opened his house up to us so we could go watch the basketball tournament every year. Well, he took a fall, and pretty serious fall, and has been in intensive care for a good little bit. He's just now getting out of intensive care, I think, after 12 days after the fall, but he's doing better. But please remember he and Lynn, my cousin, in your prayers, if you would. I know they would appreciate that also. Don't forget the rest of the meeting after tonight. We'll have a dessert for everybody who would care to stay and join us for a bit of fellowship before you go home. And then each night this week, Monday through Thursday, we'll meet at 7 o'clock. And Brock Mowdy will be speaking Monday night, Brad Sims on Tuesday night, Matthew Cruz on Wednesday night, and Miles Mowdy on Thursday night. So we're really looking forward to that. And hope that you can come and attend each session and stick around and join us for the fellowships as well. Let's go ahead and begin let me introduce our song leader. Most of y'all probably don't know Dudley McNeil. He just grew up around here and has only been here since he's been here all of his life, well over 35 years. So we're delighted to have Dudley. We appreciated Walter, his brother, leading singing this evening, and they're just going to tag team all week long and lead singing for us and give our song leaders a break. And we appreciate that. They appreciate that. And we're looking forward to having them here for the whole week. But again, we welcome everybody. And
Divine and Holy Father, our God and Creator, we come to you with praise for the great, holy, and honorable name. Father, we give you thanks for the blessings that are ours, for the hope of salvation we have through Christ and the Word that guides us to that salvation. Help us to take this opportunity and these opportunities we have in the future to look into your word and see what it holds and have the courage to make application in our own lives. Father, we pray for those that have physical needs to touch them and they can be comforted, know your presence and your strength. Father, we ask that you provide a spiritual awakening the world over that men can look to Christ for the answer to the dilemmas that face us all. Ask that you help us to show the love of Christ to those we come in contact with. In your Son's most holy name we pray. Amen.
I appreciate being invited to speak. For y'all that know me well, you know I'm not really a speaker, but I still appreciate the invitation. When we left, we didn't leave here. I did. I came in that we're a we now, but it was 1999, I guess, when I moved to Guymon. And if y'all remember, the big deal then was the Y2K. We didn't know if the world was going to shut down because all the computers were going to mess up. And that seems like just the other day, but it wasn't. So when Rick asked me what subject, or that he gave me the subject He said, you know, Sam, I know you've ended up in some places where the church wasn't what it was supposed to be, and I'd like you to talk about that. He said, but I want you to be encouraging too. And I kind of paused for a little bit and thought, well, Rick, that should be easy. And so Rick's not wrong. It's been unfortunate, some of the places and the things that have happened in the church. It's very discouraging, and it's been sad to see. And I don't want to really rehash any of it. But what I would like to do is talk about the things that led up to it, and as a warning to us, because it could happen. So really, I told Jay, I hate to admit this, but probably an Aggie education is better than a tech education. He had 9 points. I got 3. I couldn't do 9. But I want to talk about 3 things, and I don't know what you want to, is things we need to understand or call them warnings, call them what you want, but we'll talk about that, and I think it will cover and maybe help us understand some things to keep us out of keep us out of a situation where you look at your local church and you just shake your head and think, man, I can't believe this has happened. So first of all, I think we need to understand what the church is. Second, we need to understand what our work in the church is. And third, we need to understand that the attacks from Satan are likely to come from within. Let's start on the number 3 subject first, because it's kind of the hardest. The attacks are going to likely come from within. Real quick, we're not going to go into depth on some scriptures, but I just want to make a quick point. Let's look at 2 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring themselves to swift destruction." Notice, these false teachers were among them. It didn't say they were outsiders. They were among them. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. It says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying there is no resurrection, and it's already past." Notice the names of these two guys. Or Hymenaeus and Philetus, they were among the group. They had strayed from the truth. They had obviously known the truth, but they had strayed. Flip back a couple pages to 1 Timothy 1. Verse 3. "I urge you, when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes, rather than godly edification which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some have strayed. They turn aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm." He said, we're not going into great detail on any of these scriptures, but my point of reading all of these is we're warned that the false teaching are from people that are among us. And so what I'd like to say to y'all is two things. Number one, make sure we're submitting to God. Make sure that we are submitted to His Word and not to our version of His Word. Because I truly believe that's where the false teaching comes from. It comes from Christians that haven't totally submitted, and they take His Word and change it just enough to make it something that fits them. And so my warning, or what I think we should understand, is we need to submit wholly to God and not take pieces, because the false teaching could be us if we're not careful. And the second, I appreciate the fact that when I left Happy, Texas in 1999, I wasn't prepared for churches that were fussing and fighting. And y'all didn't prepare me for that, and I thank you for it. But the other, man, I don't know what you want to call it, but a huge disappointment in the church when things weren't right. And that disappointment needed not to be pointed at God. And that's, so don't be naive to the fact that things aren't always going to be as they should, because that's the way Satan wants it. He's going to try to mess us up. He's going to try to trip us. And I know when I left here, I was rather naive. And being naive is not always bad, but there's plenty of scriptures to warn us about these things. So that's the number one point. The second point I want to talk about is understanding our work in the church. Let's look at Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 says, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Jesus repeats this verse from Hosea twice in Matthew, once in Matthew 9 and 13, and once in Matthew 12 and 7. And I've seen it creeps into our lives, and I've seen it in churches where things aren't working, but people want to make their worship to God. They're coming on Sunday morning, they're coming on Sunday night, their worship on Wednesday, they're cooking for the fellowship feast, they're cooking for funerals, they're teaching Bible classes, they're song leading. They want to make their work like they are valuable to God. And that's natural, because in our world, there's really two kinds of relationships. There's relationships where you're needed, and there's relationships where you're wanted. And we live in a needed relationship world. You know, I need to eat, my family needs to eat, so I work. It's a good relationship that me and my work have. I need them and they need me. A wanted relationship is a lot deeper. It's somebody actually, they don't need anything from you. They just want you. But our world doesn't operate on that premise. You know, when we get bogged down into the work of the church and we think it's mundane and there's no thankfulness in it, we're almost like presenting ourselves saying, "Look at what I'm doing for you, God." And the fact is, and if you're dozing off, don't quit listening here, but God does not need us. He doesn't need us at all. God wants us. And there's a huge difference. And why would we trade a relationship that's wanted and try to put it on a need base? I'm gonna tell a story to illustrate this. The world treats us all, you know, I used to think in my profession that, you know, you're only as good as your last deal. You know, people don't remember anything besides the last thing, right? But really the world's a tick worse than that, because they really just remember your worst one. And in Earth, we have a gentleman, he's done everything that any boy from Spring Lake Earth would ever want to do. He played football for Texas Tech. He wasn't a quarterback or a middle linebacker. He's on the offensive line. But he played ball for Tech, and then he got drafted into the NFL
I mean, you can play at college ball, and in Earth, Texas, you're a celebrity, right? But this guy went on, and he played in the NFL. And he did play for Detroit, a team that'll never probably be any good. But he got picked by Denver, drafted him, right? So he not only played for Tech, got drafted into the NFL, he went to play for the Denver Broncos, and he played in a Super Bowl. And then he, when he came home, he's bought the weight room for the school, and he's helps the football kids and all of this stuff. And he's a massive, massive man. You know, he's got veins on his calves as big around as my finger. He's just an impressive guy all around. And I don't know why this lady did this, but we were at the ball game, and he's down there on the sidelines, and she elbows me, and she says, "That's the guy that snapped it over the quarterback's head in the Super Bowl." You know, that is the kind of thanks that the world gives us. That you're only worth what you have to offer. And really, y'all, that's why. Why in the church do we want to take that type of relationship when God says, your worth is, I'll make another quick story. What is something worth? It's only worth what it's paid for. You know, every week, at the beginning of the week, I'll have some cattle to sell. And at the beginning of the week, I'll say, they're worth $1.15. And the guy that wants to buy them say, they're worth $1.10. And we will argue about that during the week. And sometime during the week, we will finally agree. That calf is not worth what I say it's worth. It's not what he says it's worth. It is worth what's paid for it. Well, y'all, the world, you're only worth what you gave last. And in God's relationship, you're only worth what was paid for you, which was Christ's blood. What is that worth? You know, that's hard to comprehend, really. And yet we take our worldly relationships and we want to incorporate them into the church when we have a much better trade or a much better setup. Because God wants us and He values us, not based on our worst mistake, not based on what we did last. He values us because He wants us. And that is that's really when we understand that we're wanted and not needed, I think it changes the way we worship. It changes the way we live. Because we're not offering something up to say, look at me. Look at what I've done for you. This is what I'm worth to you. We understand that our worth is already taken care of. And all we need to do is serve Him because we can. I think that if everybody understood that, we wouldn't see problems. Let's look at Acts chapter 17. I'll change gears here to the third point because really the second and third point kind of overlap. Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse, I'll read verses 24 through 28. God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, since He gives all life, breath, and all things. And He made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for Him and find Him. Though He is not far from each of us, for it is in Him we live and move and have our very being. You know, God has set things up for us so that we look for Him, because He wants us. And I think that's if we would think on that every day, it changes how we operate. The third point I wanted to talk about is understand what God's church is. just like in our relationships where most human relationships are based on, you know, what I need you for, God's is based because he wants us. But we try to incorporate our earthly relationships into the church, and it doesn't work. And we do the same thing as far as understanding what the church is. We often want to treat it like it's like a club or just a you know, Clayton is in the FFA now, and I remember being back in the FFA, and that's great. You're in an organization that's got certain goals and these things, but y'all, this is not anything compared to any earthly club, because it's not. And I think oftentimes we can make a mistake as a whole of thinking of this as just our friends. Well, it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. Let's look at Romans 12. Romans 12 and 5, verse 5. It says, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If we prophesy, let us prophesy in the portion of our faith." But we're members of each other. Let's look at Ephesians 4 and 12. Ephesians 4 and 12 says, "For the equipping of the saints, for the world of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." Again, it says we are the body of Christ. Ephesians, this will be my last passage to look up, but in Ephesians chapter 1, kind of down, we'll start in verse 21, and this is talking about Christ. It says, "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that one that is to come. He has put all things under his feet and gave them to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all." Now, we are a part of something, being a member of God's church. We are part of something so much greater than even this world. In verse 21, I'm not even sure what all these things mean. You know, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. This is no just organization. This is far greater than any other relationship we have. Not only now, but in the life to come. And yet if we're not careful, we treat it with really disrespect when we treat it just like a club, or we want to worship and think that we have something to offer to God, that he needs us. So that's really those are my three points. You know, let's be aware that there's false doctrines. Stay in the Word. Stay where you are submitted to God's Word wholly. In total, understand that our service isn't needed, but it is wanted. And let's understand that we're part of something that's so great that we shouldn't let it, you know, get we shouldn't get bogged down and discouraged, or think we need to add to or take away from.
Rick, you told me to speak for 40 minutes. I only agreed to 20. And I didn't start a stopwatch, so I have no idea. But I hope I've said things that have encouraged. And if you wanted to just put in a nutshell what I've said is, y'all, the church's health is directly affected by each member's individual health. You know, the topic of it's time to get serious. Understand that. Understand that the way you function affects the group. Because it does. We're all part of the same body. And I want y'all to be healthy so I can be healthy and vice versa. If there's anybody that has a need tonight, come forward as we sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam. From the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty souls, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Please be seated.
Do we have anyone here tonight that didn't have an earlier opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper? If you'd signify by raising your hand. Okay.
We have before us the offering that Jesus maintained for us by offering His body and His blood. Sacrifice for our sins. As we come together now to take these emblems, we ask you, Lord, to pray with us. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day of life and the opportunity we have to come together as a Christian family. Dear Father, as we partake this bread, we pray, Father, we do so willingly with an open and loving heart. And dear Father, remember that this is a commandment from you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, now as we come together to take of these emblem of the shed blood of Christ. We pray that we take our minds back to the time when He willingly gave His life for us. Dear Father, we do this in remembrance of You each and every Lord's Day. Dear Father, we're commanded to do this until once again You come. We pray that You'll be with us. We take this emblem. Be with us always. In Christ's name, amen.
Good evening. Number 531, please. 531.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of His resurrection share, when His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Number 72. And after this song, we'll be led in prayer by Max Stevenson.
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life He gives from sin and sorrow free. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life He gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. He wills that I should wholly be in word and thought. Indeed, then I His holy face may see when from this earth life freed. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life He gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that over yonder stands a place prepared for me. A home, a house not made with hands, most wonderful to see. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives.
Number 308.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner lifts to the loving call wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Song before the lesson number 535.
Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the toils that by me it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing so. Showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven as I walk alone, dreaming of the comrades that so long have gone. In a fairer region among the angel throng, they are happy as they sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven tenderly and low, till the shadows o'er me rise and swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when the day is long, sing to me of heaven, sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of all.
Please be seated.